chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. How many know that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, is a light unto our path? You know, you're supposed to consume the Word of God. Let me say that again. You're supposed to consume the Word of God. Eat it up. Glory to God. And I find that sometimes some of the things that in the natural that are the healthiest to me, I don't care for as much. Right? But when I eat them and eat what I'm supposed to eat, I feel much better. Right? I have much more energy. Glory to God. So sometimes even when it's like, Lord, I'm reading your word, I don't seem to be getting anything out of it, but Lord, I know that it's nourishing me. I know that it's feeding me. I know that it's strengthening me. I know that it's leading me. Hallelujah. Some of the most supernatural guidance I've gotten throughout my years as a Christian is the Lord giving me verses that apply to the situation that I am, or more importantly, apply to my heart in the situation that I'm in. Right? Because God will show you your heart and give you a verse that you can stand on, and it helps you get through what you're supposed to get through. But in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we may get further than that, but I'm not sure. This verse is just incredible to me. It's one of those blown, my mind has been blown. Amen. This is a command. This is something that Paul is saying based on everything else he's written. But listen to these words. Therefore, because of everything I've said, because of everything we've done, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as dear children. Have you ever seen an imitator? It's really funny. I'm thinking of Rich Little. I don't know if anybody of you know who he is or whatever. But if you closed your eyes and he went through all of his, you couldn't tell that it was not the person that he was imitating, because it sounded just like him. Amen? And how many know little kids, they try to imitate everything you do. Right? If you're their daddy or their mommy, they're trying to be just like you. They're going to imitate you. And you know, it's like if your kids have seen you working on a car, pretty soon you see them with a wrench in their hand trying to go up and turn something. Right? Because they want to be like you. They want to imitate you. They want to know you. And this says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. What does that mean? Act like he acts. Think like he thinks. Come on. Do what you see him doing. Respond like he responds. Hallelujah. The therefore is therefore a reason. And let's just go back up to verse 29. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, because God wouldn't. But what is good, necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's God. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, that there's a three-letter word in there that's just consuming. It's all. All. And it applies to everything else in here. We're going to imitate God, right? So we have to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why? Because God is not up there talking in that way. God's not up there acting in that way. And that's the way we're supposed to be. Uh-oh. And be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Did you know you can be kind even when everybody else is not?
Yes.
And you can be assertive and be kind at the same time.
Yes.
Right? You can do this in kindness. Be kind to one another. What does that mean? And we're going to explore that later, but it's like, Lord, I want your kindness. Has God ever got on your case? If he hasn't, then you're not one of his kids. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says, you know, he's like a good father. And if he's not chastising you, which means correcting you, which means disciplining you, then you're not his son or his daughter. Right? So, but he always does it firmly, but in kindness. Why? Because he's always after for our good. Right? So let's go on here. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. This again. When I read verses like this, I just... Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. How many need his forgiveness? How many have received his forgiveness? And you only received it because you were such a great person. Right? You received it because you had it all together and you know, right? But even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you, forgive one another. That's a pretty high standard. And you know what keeps us from being able to do that? Our flesh. Our heart. Right? Our heart. Watch this. This is so incredible. And I think it's so wonderful. But this says that I have the potential in me to forgive as he forgave. We're going to get into that more. But I have the potential in me to displace or to give out the same kind of forgiveness for you as he did for me. And it should be even a little bit more with fear and trembling in our hearts when we think about this, because after Jesus taught us to pray, he said, right? He said to forgive even as those who've trespassed against us. And after the great faith quote in Mark 11, he says, listen, but forgive. When you stand praying, forgive one another. Even as your Father has forgiven you. But if you don't, he won't. So, it's in our best interest to forgive one another. But when you can't forgive somebody else because your heart is too wounded, you have to go back to the source of your healing. And here's what we do. Rather than do that, we try to go to the source of our pain and try to get them to fix it. And it drives us into bitterness. If they would just straighten up and apologize to me, my life would be better. I'll be honest with you. I've had it happen a few times, but it's very, 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 very rare that I've been hurt by somebody that they've come to me and said, you know, you were right, I was wrong. Right? You were absolutely right. I was totally wrong. So, oh, okay, everything can be all right. Now, that doesn't happen. So we have to guard our heart against bitterness by offering forgiveness based on his love. All right? So we're going to imitate God. It says again in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. I get to act like my daddy. I want to be like my daddy. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. We need, there's two sources of the imitation. It's really interesting because I have to be around my daddy in order to imitate my daddy. Right? But there's also some DNA things in operations. Right. Because there have been kids who are born biologically to someone, and then they're not around that someone, but then they get around their family, right? And all of a sudden, whoa, that's just like I do it. That's just like I did it. Renita's brother would sign his name, and it really looked exactly like his father's handwriting, but he hadn't been around his father that often. Right, there's some things inherent in our DNA, right? But our DNA changed in the spirit when we became born again. Right? So there's some things in our blood-bought DNA that give us the ability to act just like our daddy acts. Woo, glory to God. So there's something in us that allows us to imitate Him, but there's also being in His presence, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. And again, I don't know about you, but I don't always think like He does. But I can. That should be my goal. That should be your goal. That should be our heart. Lord, I want to think like You think. In the middle of this situation, I want to know what You're thinking. I want to know how You would react because I know what You think. Right? And the more time you spend with somebody, the more you know. Right? Renita and I have been married for over 40 years. Praise the Lord. But I know how she's going to react in certain situations because I've spent a lot of time with her. Both good, bad, you know, I mean, I know that. And she doesn't have to say anything for me to know exactly what she's thinking. The look. One of the looks. Oh, I'm in trouble. Or, oh, that pleased her. Right? Come on. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we need to get back into the attitude that I can know the mind of God. I can walk like God. I can talk like God. I can act like God. I'm not ever saying that you are God. But what I am saying is that you, in your natural man walking on this earth before we get to heaven, can be more and more and more and more and more like Him. Here's the cool thing about it. My more like Him is going to be different than your more like Him. It'll have all the same attributes, but it'll have a different personality. It'll have different giftings. But in my giftings, I can still act like Him. Teach me to be like You, Lord. Act like God in the way You treat people. Look at, because it's going to say, first one again, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus said that if you want to follow Him, you got to pick up your cross daily and follow Him. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. But one of the main things it means is I'm going to love the unlovable. I'm going to love you no matter how you treat me. And I am going to lay down my right to be right so that God can work through me. Jesus did not have to go to the cross for you. Jesus did not have to suffer the stripes for you. Jesus didn't have to do any of those things for you. He could have said, Father, I don't think so. And we'd have all stayed in our sin. But Jesus said, Father, Your will and not mine. If we're going to love as Christ loves the church and live our lives out and imitate God, then we're going to have to start allowing our flesh to suffer a death. Lord, I don't have the right to be right if it's going to hinder your love from going to somebody. I have to love you like Christ loved me. I have to forgive as Christ forgave me. Amazing. But I can.
Yes.
Let me say that again. I can. And so can you. Why? Because the love of God in Romans chapter 5 says it's been shed abroad in your heart. So I'm not loving you out of my flesh or my ability to love you. I'm loving you as a supernatural attribute of the Most High God. Because I'm imitating Him. Woo! Glory to God. I am loving you. Come on. Why? That's how you can be with people who messed you over and over and over and over and over and over and over. You can say, Lord, I see the potential in them. You know, I might put boundaries around myself, but Lord, I'm still praying for their deliverance. I'm praying for their salvation. I'm praying, Lord, for their potential to be realized. In this room, if we collected all the potential that's in this room, the potential that's never been realized, we'd fill this room with potential. Right? We would. Many things have pulled it out of us, and many, but that's not the point. The point is that God, I can see the potential in everybody in this room, and love says, bring it out. And if it costs me for you to be raised higher, then that's okay with me. Right? That's okay with me. I'll suffer the hurt if it causes you to get closer to God. Because I want to love like He loved. I want to love as Christ. Now the word Christ is interesting, right? The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's His title. Christ means the anointed one, and the anointed one really meant the Messiah who was coming to reconcile man back to God. Now don't ever misquote me or get it wrong, but we are Christ on the earth. I'm not saying that we're Jesus. I'm not saying that we're the Messiah. I'm not saying any of that, but we are part of His body. And part of His body continues to do what He's anointed to do. And what is that? It's to reconcile God back to man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that you're an ambassador, and you're an ambassador or a speaker of reconciliation. Your message is, God's not mad at you, but I can't truly be the reconciler that I need to be if I don't have the kind of love in my heart that will give even when it doesn't want to give, or even when it hurts, or even when it costs us everything. If I want to love like He loved, then I have to be willing to die to my desires and my right to be right. And sometimes the degree that you're willing to do that is the very degree that you can operate like He operates. Now this is a big revelation. And I want you all to know it. You're going to get a word from the Lord today. You ready? You're selfish. And I'm selfish. Why? Because the first one I think about in the morning when I wake up, I go to the mirror and oh, what happened? Right? And what am I going to wear? Or what are people going to think of me? Or what, you know, all of that kind of stuff that goes on. And the reality is that the more that I trust God and know that God has my back, the more I can let go of all of that. Right? And I can say, Lord, I want to look good, but I want to look good so that I can present to somebody the gospel in such a way that my appearance won't hinder that. Do you understand? But I can be a witness for God whether I have tattoos or not, whether I have piercings or not, whether I'm wearing a tuxedo or whether I'm wearing leathers. It doesn't matter. But what matters is that my heart has been transformed into His heart so that I'm seeing people in their potential and loving them as He loves them. I told you this before, but I was in the mall years and years ago at Christmas time, and one of my favorite things to do, not. And that was back before Amazon and before all of that. If you wanted to go Christmas shopping, you went to the mall. And I never went early. Right? But I was with Renita. It's different when I'm with Renita than I'm by myself. Because when I'm by myself, I hunt. What does that mean? I know what I want. I know where it is. I go in, I get it, and I get out. Right? But with Renita, let's shop. Okay. So I told you about that look earlier, right? The look that, you know, I know she has, but she sees that same look. So we've been shopping for a little while. She looks at me, and my eyes are glazed over. Right? And I'm, and she says, "Why don't you just sit here? I just got one or two more shops. You just sit here and I'll come back." Okay, fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm sitting on the bench and I'm right where all these people, Christmas time, Kitsap Mall, people are going this way and going that way, and it's crowded. I mean, it's just people bumping into everybody. And they're just going by. And this was back when golf was really in, right? So you had all the people in black and, you know, just weird looking. And so your natural mind's going, "Oh, my God." You know, or this and this. And you're looking at people and you're just, man, it's fun to watch people. But anyway, they're all going, and a part of my judgmental mind goes, "Boy, they need to get saved, or that person needs to get saved, or that person needs, you know, boy, they really need Jesus." And the Spirit of God spoke up into my heart, and I'm just saying the thought came to me. "Hey, Bruce, yes, Lord, you see all these people?" "Yes, I do." He said, "I love them every bit as much as I love you." You know, my natural mind is thinking, "How's that possible? Do you see these people?" Right? But our heart has to get back to, if I'm going to imitate God, if I'm going to be an imitator of God, I need to start seeing the people through the lens of His love. And His love sees the potential of every one of us. So if I'm acting like God, listen, if I'm looking at God and saying, "God, how would you treat this person who's done me wrong? How would you," you know, our prayers are like Holy Ghost sick 'em. You know, Holy Ghost, if lightning could come down and strike him right now, that would be a good thing. That would teach him the lesson that he deserves, right? I mean, but that's not God, right? That's not God. God has shown such mercy on the human race that He hasn't consumed us yet. Right? Because He loves us that much. Hallelujah. And I'm going to digress for just a minute. Go to John, the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. John chapter 13. If you don't know that we're living in the last days, you're blind. Right? And if you don't realize that this hour that we're living in is incredibly close, I believe the rapture could happen at any time. And if you don't know what the rapture is, it's when Jesus comes back for His bride and we're caught up together to be with Him in the air. And I believe that's going to happen, and there's many people that believe a little bit differently, before the tribulation begins. But everything is set for the tribulation that we've read about in Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation. It's set to happen. The events that are happening in the world today with Russia, Ukraine, and you know, even Russia had made a statement, I don't know how long ago it was, but they made it to Israel that we're not happy with you and we're going to destroy you if you don't change. Now, that's not good, and we don't like that from a natural standpoint, but I'm going, he's coming soon, he's coming soon, right? But in that, we need to be ready for his arrival, right? We have to put on the wedding garments, right? We have to be ready, we have to be awake, we have to start living our lives like he could come tomorrow. God, if you come tomorrow, am I ready? Right? I want to be that ready. But listen, again, we were talking about imitating God. We're talking about that we, the more we're around Him, the more we spend time with Him, the more we get into His Word, the more we begin to get our mind wrapped around His Word and start thinking like He thinks. If He says not to envy, I'm not going to envy. If He says not to be bitter, I'm not going to be bitter. If I refuse to do anything that's outside of His mind and His heart, right? Okay, but look at, this is so awesome. In John chapter 13, and let's go to verse 34. I've shared this with people because it's exploded on the inside of me. But I've shared it with some other people and they go, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Right? But this is incredible to me. Verse 34 says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. But not just love for the ones you like, love one another. But I love this. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. You've heard me talk about this before. But I was reading that one day and I went, Lord, what do you mean a new commandment? I can go back to Deuteronomy where it says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like that, that you love your neighbor as yourself. So how is this new? How is this new? Again, verse 34, watch this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And these are the words that change everything. As I have loved you. First of all, that puts the bar up pretty high. Right? But he says, why is this a new commandment? Why is he saying it now? Why is he operating in it right now? Because he's about to go to the cross and pay the price so that people's hearts could be reconciled to God. So that a stony heart could be taken out, and the Bible says that a heart of flesh he's going to put in. In other words, you're now capable of loving because I'm making the way so that your heart can be right with God and that your spirit and his spirit can be one. In other words, because I have a relationship with God, because I've been born again, I now have a new capacity to love. And he said here that I can love as he loves. And then he goes on to say that because of that, if you'll begin to operate in that, if you'll begin to live like that, the world will know that you belong to me. Oh, glory to God. What is so different about you, Jesus? What's so different about you? How come you can have that patience? How come you can continue to talk nice about somebody when they're talking bad about you because of Jesus? Somebody who loves like God loves, you won't hear them speak evil against anyone. I've known men of God who've, you know, just to displayed the love of God and walked in the love of God like, you know, no others. But and I've heard them slandered. I've heard them talked about. I've heard them lied about by their Christians, obviously. But I've heard all of that. But never have I heard them come back at the ones who were speaking evil against them, because the love of God constrained them from doing so. I want to imitate God. If I want to do that, I have to watch what's coming out of my mouth, and especially what's coming out of my mouth towards somebody else. Yes. And sometimes that looks like this. I want to give you a piece of my mind, but God is saying, no, give him a piece of my heart. Right, right? I want to give them what I'm really thinking right now, but if you can't be kind in doing it and you don't have the love of God backing that up, then keep your mouth shut and get alone with God and say, Lord, I want to act like you want to act. What would you say to, you know, this person if you were here? But I know when I'm spending time with him, I have his imitation of his actions. But in my DNA, I have the ability because his blood is coursing through my veins. Whoo, glory to God. His blood is in my DNA. And look at, you say, yeah, that's all well and good, but I don't feel like that. Well, you're just not operating in faith yet where that's concerned. Even being able to imitate God is only because God's grace has given you the ability to do that. But that grace is only activated in you if you believe it's true. Right? If you do not believe it's true for you, then you won't. Well, you know, I'm just like my daddy and his daddy and the daddy before that, and we all, you know, didn't like him. We just spoke our mind, bless God, and we weren't going to let anybody cut us off. We weren't going to let anybody. My dad said, you throw the first punch, and you know, all of that stuff. And, well, you know, as long as you want to stay earthly and as long as you want to stay associated and aligned with your earthly daddy, that's your flesh, right? And if you go back far enough, the Bible says you're all of your father, the devil. But I think I've been born again. I've been taken out of his kingdom, transferred over into God's kingdom, and I want to say what he says. I want to act like he acts. I want to imitate him, and I can do so because his love has been shed abroad in my heart, and I have his love coursing through my veins. Christ, the anointed one who gave himself for me. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. All right, I'm going to skip some of these verses because I don't have enough time. But go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. You know, sometimes you have to read the Bible, and I'm just going to glance over this. You have to read the Bible as a person that it's written to. You know, in the world, there's three people groups. And those are this. They're the Gentiles, those who don't believe in God, have any access to God. There's the Jews. And then there's the church. We're the church. We need to read the Word of God as the church, as the redeemed, as the one who've already received what God has for us, okay? Now watch this. This is so good, I think. Chapter 2 of 1 John. I'll get there. And start in verse 8. Hallelujah. What happened? Okay, there we go. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, that the which thing which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light has already shining. That's so good. So much in that. And he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness till now. I just hate them. I can't stand them. I can't turn out the lights. The party's over. Right? I mean, you're walking in darkness. But you don't have to because the light has come. Verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because his darkness has blinded his eyes. I refuse to walk in darkness. I refuse not to love people. I refuse to get so angry at somebody that I don't want to see them. And now I have lots of times and opportunities to walk in that. And there are some people, when I hear their name, see their face, see their post on Facebook, I have to go, and I have to do an automatic adjustment of my attitude and say, Lord, I know what they deserve, but my judgment's probably not the right one, so I'm just going to turn them over to you. I don't know why they did what they did. I don't know why they said what they said. But Lord, I'm just going to have to give them to you because I don't want to walk in darkness. I want to walk in light. Now look at, I'm just going to say this way real quickly, that when we're walking in the light, then we're in the position to receive from God the revelation or what He wants to tell us. Right? How many like it when God speaks to you? Right? I mean, I like that. Well, if you hate your brother, that line of communication is shut off. I don't want it. It's more important to me to hear from him than for me to have my rights over you to be noticed or applied. Just saying. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us that we should be called the children of God. Our heart has to be that the potential of everybody that you know, even of those that have messed you over time after time after time, those who are heavy and addicted and maybe stolen from you because of that addiction, over and over again, Lord, my heart for them is for them to come in contact with your love and receive that love and let it change them like it's changed me. Because the love of God has been awesome in my life. Look at verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Oh, excuse me. I'm in the wrong one. 3:23, I was reading 2. I thought, that's not right. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many have done that? How many believe that? How many believed on the name, Jesus is my Lord? That's awesome. Glory to God. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. And love one another. If we want to imitate God, we should be known as people who love people. Not only brothers, but love people who don't know Him yet. Everybody who doesn't know Him, we got to act like they don't know Him yet. But I'm here to introduce him. Hallelujah. And in closing, I'm not saying that it's always, I love somebody, so I'm just kind to them, sweet, sweet, all the time. You know, sometimes love kicks people in the butt. Right? But I'm going to do it. Here's how to know the difference. Am I doing it? Am I going to get you and tell you what's up because it's better for me? Or it's better for you? In other words, I'm mad because you've inconvenienced me. Or I'm mad because you're destroying yourself. Do you get the difference? It's like if the motivation for your reaction is because of the way you felt or the way you've been treated or the way you've, then that motivation is not right. But if the love of God is, this is killing you and I'm, or this is destroying you or this is not allowing you to reach your potential, and I'm going to tell you in uncertain terms that this is the truth. That's one thing. But sometimes we have to get in our prayer closet and pray the other stuff out before we can react to the people. Does that make sense? Because I want to act like he acts. I want to imitate him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm believing God. Listen to me. I'm believing God for his love to be so poured out that people cannot resist his love. And I'm believing God for us to get back to the place, and it's something stirring in my heart where our focus is so much on him that we just act like him automatically. Yeah. That we wake up in the day, what would you think? What would you do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to act? We get back to that. Really, we get back to this place where it's, Lord, does this please you? Does my thought please you? Does my action please? Do my plans please you? Because if they don't, I'll switch it all up. Because at the end of the day, when I get onto my pillow and go to sleep, I want to say this, Lord, is there anything that I did today that did not please you? And I'll repent of that. And then, Lord, tomorrow, let's work really hard on that because I want to be at the place where I hear at the end of the day, well done. Well done. I'm really happy with you today. You really pleased me today because you shared my love with somebody in a tangible way. We need to imitate God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the people who are here in the room and those that are watching online. And I thank you, God, that you have loved all of us so much. I thank you, Lord, that there's nobody under the sound of my voice that doesn't have the potential to be great in the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just speak to everything that the devil has put on people to try to keep them out of the kingdom of God. And we just declare your kingdom is coming down in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for revival to sweep across America as the church begins to love the unlovable, as the church begins to display your love in a powerful way. Lord, we thank you for moving in our midst, and we thank you, God, for all you've done and all you're going to do. Father, I thank you that as people are watching it online, they couldn't come this morning. If they need to be healed, Lord, I ask you to touch their body. If they need to be, if they need finances, God, just meet their needs in Jesus' name. Lord, we worship you and we thank you for working on behalf of those who have needs online and in the building. Lord, we just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you. Be an imitator of God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.